Everything we do. All right. So we're doing a little catalyst yesterday. So the so we started with the idea of the experimental, right? Thomas, yeah, right. Okay, so we mentioned that in, that a keheles is really like Chazal say that you're not allowed to give away the sod tamei mitzvahs to the umos olam. So what is it? What is the sod? The sod tamei mitzvahs. The sod. I mean, it's one sod. I mean, it doesn't say sodos. It says sod tamei mitzvahs. Rashi says. So he said the pshat is that because in our system there is a sod. And that so it is that our system functions on two levels. On one level, it functions like a dus, and there are certain things that we must do because of a because it's a dus. It's a dasa emes, the true dus. But it still is a dus. I mean, you can't just it's not just a philosophy. It's a dus. But the truth of the matter is that our dus ultimately is converted into a philosophy. In other words, the more the person, the higher the person gets, the higher the level of the person, so the less he does things because of a dus. When a person does things because of a dus, he does it because of an obligation, because of a loyalty, because he has to do it. So he does it in a different way, which means that he does it basically, he gets up to daven, so he's chayev in tefillah. So he does it, now he feels good, okay, he davened, he feels good, he did what he was supposed to. It's conscientious. So that's the concept of doing things in terms of a dust. Most people, that's what you had this is for them all their lives. I mean, they don't rise above that. But the few that do, for them the whole yahadus becomes a different experience. It simply he naturally does it because that's just like any philosopher who would arrive at a truth would naturally follow that truth because it's true. So the same thing is the case in yahadus because. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says in the Hilchos Tshuva. He says Va'osa was Loshu says Mitnei Shulemis. That's actually the Loshu Rambam. So you see that a person can reach a level. It's possible for a person to reach a level where all the mitzvahs that he does is simply not because of obligation, not because he has to do it. Not because of a dust, but because it's emes. Because he just does a simple, very simple reason. Because it's emes. He says, Right. Lom ne dover shabolom. He says, Elo oseh emes v'neishu emes. That's it. Oseh emes v'neishu emes. So that means he just like gets up in the morning to, he has to eat, he has to drink, he has to take care of himself. That's emes. This he does the same way. The same way. That's really the pasuk Vato Yisrael Mod Hashem Lekech Hashem Meimcha. That all these things are just that's just reality. So there are people that the higher a person gets in Yahadis and the more knowledge he gains of it, the less he does it because of a dos, and the more he does it because simply it's emes. Until he reaches a level where everything he does is just because of the emes. Okay, there's no obligation. And he doesn't feel any burden, and he doesn't feel any relief after he does it, because it's simply that's the emes, that's it. So keheles really we explain that this, that's what it means. The sod you can't megal to the umos olam, can't megal that sod to the umos olam to show them. Doesn't mean you can't show them, because really supposed to show them ki chokhmaschem v'naschem leini amim. So you're supposed to show them that every mitzvah has infinite chokhma. But that's on a particular level. But as a totality, to show them what the whole dus really is, that it's nothing more than the emes, and it's not really a dus even, underlying everything is just simply the emes, from the emes, that you're not allowed to reveal. Because the umos olam have to look at it as a dus. Once they, if they see it's not a dus anymore, that's it, they're gone. So that's really... That was yesterday's haftarah, that ultimately the umos olam will recognize that that the pasuk says that this shmi odia b'soch ami Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will teach Kal Yisrael, the they will understand the Shem Hashem, and the goyim will know the yodu ki ani ad Hashem kadosh b'Yisrael. So it means that that's the way the umos olam will be makir. So they can't be makir direct. direct. Direct is not possible. It's only because they'll know that that Klal Yisrael that has this dus, this unbelievable dus, where everything is based on chachma, and it's all unbelievable chachma, every single mitzvah and every detail. When they see that, they'll say that the chachma Yisrael, they really have knowledge of God. The other can hear Hashem kadosh be Yisrael. That's what it is. That Yisrael understands the kedushas Hashem, how God is different and removed, and what yichud Hashem means, and the ideas of kadosh baruch Hu. They'll understand that through the dust, but the dust has to be there. So ultimately, lasid lavo. You see, lasid lavo. Yeah, that's one of the shruas in the Gemara and Ksuba, so the Kufir Aleph. So it's one of the shruas is you're not allowed to take that away from the Umas Olam, because the whole purpose of the Gula is because of Kiddush Hashem B'Umas Olam. That's the whole purpose. The Navi says Yecheskel said. So therefore, so that's the idea. So the entity, the element of dust, can never be revealed. Even among Yisrael, you can't reveal Sodos to everybody. But there are people that you can. But in Umas Olam, you can't reveal. You're not allowed to reveal. What? Not even a Ben Noach. Not even a Ben Noach. Can't reveal. So, yes.
Why are they God?
That's what the Navi says. At the end, they will simply abandon everything. There's very few people that could do the Emes fully because of the Emes. Most Jews would be gone. Never mind almost all. Not allowed to reveal Sodas to anybody, almost. Only rare individuals. That's went over that many times. Why that's so? Okay, I'm not gonna go. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Correct. For most people, you can't reveal the underlying ideas of the dust because they'll abandon the whole dust. They have to work differently. They have to work. They're not ready. Most people are not ready for to live with absolute knowledge. Is very. It takes a person. I mean, years of even if a person is a great person, it takes years of working on themselves and. And it's not something that anybody can do. It's like Ram says, perfection is not something that you're born with. It's not something which is easily attained. And it takes years of working on oneself to attain a semblance of it. The problem is, as I said yesterday, the problem is that at some point, all right, whatever. Let's get back to this. So the question is like this. So that's why not let her reveal the dust, the ideas of the soda dust, what the dust really is. So not let her reveal to herself. Okay. So I mentioned that in Kehelas really, Kehelas is an unbelievable sefer, and if a person really understands it, it's concepts which are of a primary knowledge, but they're and it can really change a person's life. This is one thing I want to say. I mentioned yesterday that in the 20s, so the world was very excited with Sigmund Freud's invention of psychoanalysis, discovery of psychoanalysis, and the method, and the world was very excited because they felt that now we could change our personalities. You see, turned out it wasn't true. Freud never really said that, and his discoveries were limited to certain cases and a lot of insight into the personality, but not really real change. But there is one system that can change a person's life, and that system is Yadus. That is in a certain very unique way, but it can really change a person's life. Absolutely changes is the nature of his existence. But that's a claim that only Yadus makes, and can only be realized through the method of Yadus. But Kehelis, I would say, is something which, if a person really understands it, it can really change his life. It can really change his life. But not everybody, as I said yesterday, it depends on how much of a free agent a person is. Not everybody's a free agent. There are two problems. Not everybody's a free agent, because if you're going to show somebody that what they're doing is, and that's one of the dangers of knowledge, if you show somebody that what he's doing is stupid, so it's very nice if he has an option. But if he doesn't have an option, then you simply destroy the person, because bottom line is, and they really can't do it, so they have no choice. Most people don't have the freedom over their psyche to be able to just direct energies here and there. I mean, most people, their energies are fixed because of certain factors fixed in place, and they really don't have that much room to play around. So it can only be helpful ultimately to a person that has tremendous freedom of energy. But even a person that has less. So I mean, they can't to some extent. They could accomplish something, but it is really ideas that can change a person's life, because insofar as a person can, as I say, because it really it analyzes the most important area of life where people put their energies in, which is into their pleasures. Okay, and that's really what Kahalas is. It's an experimental analysis of human pleasure, of human pleasure. Now, that's why in this experiment he has every single conceivable pleasure. We'll see what exactly it entails. But the first idea that we wanted to mention was the concept that Plato says, and the Yahadis in general agrees with, and that is that insofar as a person enjoys anything which is of this world, any enjoyments in this world, he definitely is removing himself from the enjoyments of the true world. But it's impossible to be otherwise. It's impossible from a quantitative standpoint, but more, we mentioned, from a qualitative standpoint. Because it means that insofar as the person has energy in those areas, it means that he simply doesn't realize what the true areas are. It's like Shlomo says, "Kol chafot sechol yishvula." There's no comparison. So insofar as the person is putting, it's a qualitative idea. As far as the person is putting energies into any kind of material enjoyments, so any kind of material enjoyments, it means they simply aren't masig. They don't understand what the other enjoyments are, and they can't partake of those pleasures, of those enjoyments. So it's a qualitative phenomenon. Qualitative phenomenon. Insofar the person who is enjoying the material world, for the individual that knows what the other world is an unfortunate person. And I say unfortunate because the person really knows exactly how frustrating these types of enjoyments are. You see, I mean, it's not a matter that there's a difference between dos and between the emes. A dos person thinks, well, you got to be at a higher level. You know, you got to be okay. You have to strive higher. You have to learn. You have to, you know, do things that are of a higher nature. But a person that understands it, it's not a matter of, it's a matter of like, this is, it's crazy. It'd be like crazy. It'd be like a person that that has in front of him a gold mine and a garbage heap. And the question would be, should he go take some little scraps you can find in the garbage heap, or go to the gold mine? I mean, it's like an insane choice. So that's the same thing over here as well. That insofar as the person partakes of the material world, he doesn't have the real enjoyments of life, and he doesn't have it. It's unfortunate. It's an unfortunate state. And of course, I mean, that's the major answer for the question of Rosh HaVetovlo. Because it's just not possible, Rosh HaVetovlo. That's simply not possible. It means he's an unfortunate person because he's tied to the material. It's just not possible. Okay. But anyways, I'm not going to go further on that one. But anyways, don't ask me now, what is the kasha of Rosh HaVetovlo? Okay. But that's the reality. That's the reality. Now, but as I said before, Chazal hold, like Plato held as well, that insofar as a person participates or partakes of the material pleasures, it's not simply the material pleasure, but the pleasure has an effect which causes the person to feel that, or to be convinced, I should say, that that is the good. Okay? That is the good. Because he can't help it. Because it feels good, and he has to, that's good. This is good. And as much as he'll try to argue it away, he can't. So there is a that's what Chazal mean. Huri avera kasha me'avera. Huri avera kasha me'avera is not a paradoxical statement. It's a very simple statement. What it means is the ma'aseh avera itself is evil, but the fact that it entraps the person's preoccupations, because that's what a person really is, his preoccupations. So that's really the evil, that it takes the person's energy, his preoccupation. So that's a hurry of a kashan. Yeah, so the question is, how could he do this experiment? How could he do this experiment? Because in the experiment itself, he will be causing himself to completely become contaminated, so to speak, by the Maisa Vera itself. The effects of the Maisa Vera will destroy his soul. So how could he do it? That's the question. And the other side of the question was, how is it possible to have a legitimate experiment? See, and he says, the pasuk says, Af Chachmasi Amdali. So Af Chachmasi Amdali means that, no, that's exactly what he's saying. He says, even though I did all these things, but my Chachma was never compromised. Amda, it was firm. Af Chachmasi Amdali, it stood by me, unimpaired, you see, so unaffected. So that's the case. I mean, how's that possible? It seems to be against what Chazal is saying, against what the philosophers, the true philosophers say, and it's an impossibility. So we proposed an answer as follows, that when a person, you see, the reason why the soul becomes contaminated, becomes destroyed, is because of the fact that the conviction enters from the sensation and the experiential phenomenon which affects the idea of the good. It has to affect the idea of the good. Everybody has to affect the idea of the good. But the thing is like this, that's only for an individual that entered into that situation willingly. You know, as he willingly entered into the situation, and now he experiences a pleasure, so now his soul has to say, well, this must be the good, it feels good, and he can't overcome that, you see. But that's only because he entered into it willingly. But in the case of Shlomo Melech, where he entered into it for only one purpose, and that was simply in order to know the truth, so that person will not be affected. So that's why he remained. That's why he said Af Chachmasi Amdali, because he did not enter it into. He didn't enter into the pleasures because they were attractive to him. See, if it's the attraction, so then it shows you that the soul itself is in a certain state, and now he experiences it, and now he's convinced. And as much as later he's not convinced, but at that moment something has taken place, and then the soul has been changed. And now it's too late. Now it's not going to go away. So that's true insofar as an ordinary human being who enters into these things because he's drawn to them and they're attractive. But a person like Shlomo HaMelech, who entered into it for only one reason, because of the fact he wanted to pursue and determine a certain truth, whether a certain thing is true or not, that was an experimental case. So for him, he remained unaffected. Af Chachmasi Amdali. That's what it means. Okay.
I have to say exactly a little bit more than just that.
That's the other side of the question. That's the other question. Okay, and I want to mention, Avi Putney mentioned something which is very excellent. And that is that you see we have the same concept with regard to Shabbos. Of course, you have Onik Shabbos. I mean, you see the Simchas Yom Tov, Onik Shabbos. So why is what does it have to do with Kedusha? The holiest day of the year is Oneg, and Oneg involves every possible, as long as not Machal Shabbos, but the enjoyments, pleasures on Shabbos. So why is that so? The answer is because Yehadus maintains that if the person, that's why it's like the Vilna Gaon said, and others, it's Oneg Shabbos. If the person does it only because of it should reflect the Kedushas Hayom and the ultimate Oz Tisanag Al Hashem. It's a reflection of Oz Tisanag Al Hashem. If that's why he engages in the pleasure, then the pleasure, on the contrary, and then the pleasure is beneficial. It's an interesting thing. That's why Yadus maintains. So that's the principle you said in Yadus. So you see that same idea. Right? The same idea is that's the same idea as Kehelis. That's really the same idea, the same concept. See, that concept holds true. Yehadus maintains it depends why the person, if the person is lured by the pleasure, he enjoys the pleasure itself, then it's, then on the contrary, then the soul is drawn away. But if it's something he enters into it only because of this is a Kedushas Hayom, and it reflects the Yoz Tisanag Alad Hashem, the ultimate Tainug, that's why he's doing it, so then it does not affect him at all. The contrary. It's something which is beneficial. It's an interesting concept. But that's on a Shabbos. On a Shabbos, on a Yantav, Simchas Yantav. That's really a big premise in the Das. So, yes.
The
Gemara says, Af Chachma, the plain shot is very good. Af Chachmasi Umdali means, but Af, also, because you would think that it would compromise my Chachma. No. Af Chachmasi Umdali. It also stood by just like before. Nevertheless, okay, that's the. But Chazal say that Af Chachmas, but that's obviously not Pshuta Shel Mikra. So Chazal dashing a, what Chazal is saying is, I don't know whether it's a smachta to remember it. Af Chachmas, that's not Pshuta Shel Mikra. But what Chazal is saying is that. And it's true that with regard to this, it does fit in here, because what they're saying is that how is he able to withstand the pleasures, the effect of the pleasures, because of the type of chachma that he had, the chachma that he learned ba'af. Chachma learned ba'af means that there's a kind of person that's, as Ram say, like a person that learns. He wants to enjoy himself and relax and learn. He says that the person cannot really be kind of tired that way. It has to be a painful kind of removal from the ordinary. And if he can't do that, then he can never be zoch in the Kesser Shel Torah. It's a tough, it requires a certain toughness on the self. Can't be just, you know, it's nice to sit and relax, you know, and sit and learn and enjoy life. It's a nice picture, but that's not the way the person is really Kona Torah Bishlam Musa. The Kona Torah, the Kesser Shel Torah, says he can't be Vilashim. An ain divatarnik and Misha Misrapa Atzmele. Misha Misrapa and Misrapa Atzmele. It means that he's easy on himself. That's not the way the person Kona Torah is. You have to be tough on yourself. It requires a certain hardness towards the self. A person that likes himself too much, that babies himself too much, he can't really be Zohar Kesh Shatar. Kesh Shatar requires a harshness against the self. So that's what Af Chachmasi means. I don't know what to do. How come it always happens like that? I got louder. Are they there? Yeah, but that's what I say. Af Chachmas, they say something else. What's that? Bezeyasaf. Yeah. But I'll tell you what it means. Why? Oh, so what happened? How come it was going the first?
Oh, it does go, but then it gives you a warning that
it's not going. Oh, we had this last time. Remember, we figured it out.
Yeah, I know, but what we did last time wasn't.
Would a regular phone be better? Would a phone with a speaker be better? Phone with a speaker? The phone speaker works good. Oh, it's taping? Oh, I don't know. The taping's not dependent on that. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, yeah. No, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, there's no question that it's connected, but now I'm thinking into it. It's like this. Because, you see, the af chachmasi, what does it mean, a chachma shalamarati the af? What it means is like this, that there is abstract chachma. It's a certain realm. There's abstract chachma, which is which is the person's intelligence. That's abstract chachma. Person learning a sugim bav basar. Okay, that's a kind of it's intelligence. It's chachma. That's not chachma shalamati baf. You see, I mean, even though I never everybody wants to say that you have to learn baf, I don't think that's what it means. Because chachma shalamati baf does not mean that, because that's pure chachma. That's pure enjoyment. On the contrary, if the person would try to impose some kind of force in that situation, that's detrimental. His mind has to be completely engaged and free, you see. But there is a chachma that has to do with you, that has to do with your life, and with your emotions, and with redirecting and directing your emotions, you see. That's a chachma shalamati ba'af. That requires an af. See, that requires a harshness towards the self, an anger towards the self, to be able to no matter how hard it is, to break it. You see, that's a different kind of it. That's a chachma, the chachma with regard to the individual's personality. That's a chachma shalomar tibah. So what Chazal is saying is, af chachmasi umdali, that chachma allowed him not to be affected by the pleasures. You see, that's the chachma. Where? No. I'm not sure. I don't know. I got to go. But by Keset Torah, what the Rambam is saying is something else. Maybe you could say it also comes under this in a way, because it means that the person can't be misrapa atzma. It means a person that really is after Torah can't be misrapa atzma. He can't, just like the Rambam says, he can't be looking for a luxury. He's interested in like luxuriating with chachma. That kind of an attitude. He sits back, relax, has a cup of tea, he's enjoying himself and he's thinking, and this is his ideal. If this is his ideal, we'll never be Zohar Keshtar Torah. Keshtar means an unmitigated desire for the truth. So it has to be, he has to permeate him, his soul. But I think what Chazal is saying over here, Chachma Shmarati Ba'af, means that the Chachma, which always has the character of Af. And the chachma as a character of af is the chachma that deals with a person's own his own self, his own inner world. The inner world requires an af, because otherwise you can't accomplish anything. So af chachmasi yomdali fits in very well. Okay, but anyways, so the answer to the question is, like we said, because he entered it not because of a attraction to the pleasures, but because of this, his search for the anus. So that's why it was unaffected. Okay. But now the other question. The other question is that since he did it that way, is it really a good experiment? Correct? And that's the question. Is it a good experiment? Because already he has part of him removed. So one answer we gave is the Gemara, the Chazal say, talk about the Ashmedai, which the Ashmedai, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, I mean, we have went through it for a number of shurim, I believe, but the basic idea was, if I remember correctly, the idea was that he had he had an unbelievable ability to channel his energies into certain areas completely and then remove himself. He had a tremendous freedom of control over his inner world, his inner psychic energies. And in other words, when it says that Shemach was a chacham mikol adam, it doesn't just mean he's the smartest man. It means that he was structured in a way that would lend itself to unbelievable chachma, unbelievable chachma. So he was able to do that, to undergo a change of personality, and then return. So that's one trap. But let's keep the question in mind as we proceed. The point we proceeded to yesterday was that the thing that stands in the way, and that's why I say that one of the difficulties in attaining this kind of knowledge, which I mentioned, can really change a person's life to an unbelievable degree, is first of all the freedom I mentioned, but the second thing is that it would make a person stand alone. Because like the Rambam says, the fact that a person knows that somebody exists miles away already is something that removes an individual's loneliness. Loneliness is a powerful force in man. So the people don't realize the satisfactions that are coming to them without understanding them, but they're being fed into their system. And one of them is the fact that you feel you're with everybody. And the way essentially you identify with people is by their likes and dislikes. I mean, that's the most basic method of identification. Likes and dislikes. So that's why you see generations are apart, because the likes and dislikes change. This music, that music. It's a breach of identification. What does Shlomo say? Gam ha'vosom, gam sin osom, about the dead. Gam ha'vosom, gam sin osom, kvar shechocha. What does it mean? Because most people, that's what they are, the likes and dislikes. You like this, like that. If the likes match, so then there's identification. So for a person to really go against what the whole world likes, you look at a magazine, a paper, the television, wherever the person goes, the whole culture is saying that these are the enjoyments. So for a person to break away from that and to be totally removed is an unbelievably difficult thing, because they're isolated, completely isolated and completely alone. And it's a very difficult thing for a human being, an ordinary human being, to do. It is the thing that the Torah requires of us. Nevertheless, the Torah does require that of us, that we have that ability to do so. It's Avraham Avinu. Kol Olam Me'Avraham Echad. I mean, that's Kol Torah Kula. That one thing is Yisod and Kol Torah Kula. But nevertheless, it's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do. and that is a big problem. I would say those are the two problems, two difficulties in learning from Kehelas. But the thing you have to remember is that the thing that I think that can help a person, insofar as that is concerned, is the realization that nobody has gone into this area. And everybody who you see who are very content, so to speak, or claim to be content, and claim to have a good life, because that's what most people will claim, regardless of whether it's true or not, the fact is that no one, and I say no one because, I mean, it's not that I've checked every human being, but I'm just saying I haven't seen, you haven't seen anyone that has really made, on the whole, generally speaking, people in the world, that have any knowledge of what's going on in this area. Zero. I mean, most people have absolutely zero knowledge in this area. And the fact is that people are fooled because they see intelligent people living a certain lifestyle and they assume that there must be some truth or some reality to it. But there is zero reality to it. Just because if you ask any one of these people what their lives are about, they haven't got the shallowest ideas emerge. I mean, the stupidest, most ridiculous. I mean, just look at the papers every day and the magazines and the television, all these things. You see the shallowness is unbelievable. I haven't got an inkling of one solid idea around which their life revolves. So you have to realize, I mean, that's an important realization. But we mentioned yesterday, we said, as an example, if you would approach a very successful businessman who enjoys his prominence and his esteem and his whatever his fame, that he's his accomplishments. So the person would say, if you say to him, you say, well, what do you mean? You start analyzing life. He would say, what are you talking about? I enjoy it. This is the greatest enjoyment for me. And people respect me. I have position. Important deals come my way. People look up to me. I mean, he'll say, his argument would be, I enjoy myself. How could you possibly say that this is something that requires analysis? The bottom line is, it's an experiential thing. So I said, you have to be able to see the refutation of that thing, because it's like a simplistic thing, but it's a tremendous, I think it's the biggest block for the average person. It's the biggest block for the average person. But this, oh, here we go again.
Oh, no.
Yeah, what is that? You do 70?
No. Yeah, it is the same one you have.
Maybe it'll go away. All right. Oh. Okay. As we were saying, three phones ago, the. The thing is that probably the most powerful influencing factor that dissuades people from an analysis, like I said, most of the world, or for practical terms, say all the world, has not made any advances in this area. Okay? Shlomo Melech is the last one. So the with all the knowledge of psychology, this, and in general, man has remained on a totally primitive level with regard to this area. It's an unbelievable thing. There's no progress, zero progress in the internal world, in spite of all the progress in the external world. And all the progress in the external world will not affect one iota of the progress in the internal world in a direct manner. Even today, a person can be a sophisticated individual and have the most insane idea. You know, I mean, that his body is going to be blown to bits and he's going to be enjoying sex. I mean, and insanity. I mean, nothing less than insane. But the external world does not affect any progress in the internal world. Zero. So, but one of the things that I believe prevents a person from approaching this area is the fact that a person experiences a tremendous pleasure. And once a person experiences that pleasure, he feels that you can't argue that away. It's unassailable. He's a successful man. He does experience the feeling of success, a powerful feeling. And how could you argue that away? Okay? And because of that, people go on, one person, another person, hundreds and thousands and millions of people go on without the slightest understanding or the slightest knowledge or the most simple idea to explain what's going on is lacking. Okay, no thought, zero thought. But the ref. So that's why I said that you have to understand the refutation to that point, which is. But I am experiencing a tremendous enjoyment. It's tremendous enjoyment. There are moments when the person's enjoyment is at the height. I mean, is extremely powerful. Okay, and that's what that kind of a person will argue. But I said, what is the answer to that? What is the refutation to that argument? It's a simplistic argument, but a tremendous block. See, certain arguments are forceful. Certain are just preventative. Like, it's simple, it looks clear, and that's it. It stops any kind. You can't penetrate the argument. It's like a kind of argument. It's a block, you see. But there is a decisive blow to that argument. Okay? And anybody?
Well, I think the pleasure is
that happens.
Yeah. Don't say I have your client today.
Right.
And you're on the phone with that client. Okay. You don't seem like you're having pleasure. You're right. In fact, you're aggravated at anything, right. And you're waiting for a drink. Right. So, at what point exactly is that pleasure that you're discussing?
That's correct.
So I think they're lying.
That's correct. You're lying. You're absolutely right. As a matter of fact, if you study the biographies of these people, you'll find that they have miserable lives, totally miserable lives. They don't even have the simple enjoyments that the people that they look down upon have. Okay, I mean it is true, it is true. But the question is still not answered because that's still a dilemma. That's still a dilemma because you see, but they do have these great moments, even though they're crazy. You'll know, you go into their personal lives, you'll see they're wrecks. Their family life, the misery, and then usually the end is, if you read the biography, the end is usually pretty bad. So if these things were so great, I mean, somebody told me that one of the famous people wrote a book recently, and they said that when they got into the society of the super wealthy, they mentioned that how come no one knows this is the greatest secret, that these people who everybody thinks are just luxuriating on fancy yachts are really the most miserable people on the face of the earth. I mean, so this person that was introduced to this society, they were saying that how come no one knows about this? They were amazed that nobody knows the real truth behind their lives. And that is true. There's no question that is true. But it still is a dilemma. You see, that I'd like to give an answer that explains that too. You know what I mean? Explains that too. Because, of course, the person will always hang on to the possibility that maybe this was wrong, maybe that was wrong. But I am experiencing this great pleasure. Okay, so there must be other reasons why this is all happening. And everybody will try to find 100 reasons. Other people say, well, look, the guy, the people that win the lottery, they wind up in worse debt and misery, and they lose their friends. And everything. Okay, fine. But is that person saying, I'm not going to win the lottery? No, it must be this reason, that reason, some other reason, but I'll be able to, I'll be able to handle it, So that's the argument, again, that's why I say the argument's a block. You know what I mean? You're right. You could show rationally that it can't be, because you can't tell me that everybody is missing out because of this reason, that reason. There must be something wrong here. I mean, you're right. But objectively, and no doubt you're right, but as you see, there's a certain kind of an argument that still is a block, because the fact is that the person's eye is fixed on those pleasures, which are powerful enjoyments to them. They sense them as very powerful enjoyments. And that, as long as their eye is fixed on that, so to speak, all the other arguments are kind of like fall by the wayside, you know what I mean? Or they'll try to answer it. Okay, it's a good kashi. After, that's not gotten to me. He was different. That person's going to, because they're fixed, tied tightly to the thought or the picture of those great moments and those great enjoyments and how they would feel under these situations. Yeah, but the answer is like this.
Are you basically saying that one moment justifies their lifestyle?
Yeah. But no one's I'm not arguing. What I'm trying to do over here is to try to show you what the refutation is, so that it shouldn't function as a block. You see, that's what I'm trying to show you. You know what I mean? Because you can argue different kinds of arguments, but I'm just telling you, it seems to me clear. This is why people can't make any progress in this area. Why is it nobody made progress in this area? I mean, it's so very simple, it seems, but no progress. Why not? But the answer is because there's something that stops, and that is the picture of this great enjoyment that the person feels convinced that were they in that position, they'd be experiencing. And arguments fail, you see. You have to prove intrinsically that it's a fraud. That it's a fraud. Yeah? See, that's a side argument. That's a side argument. Mm-hmm. But you have to show intrinsically why it's
not. Is it pleasure something that shouldn't involve action?
Yeah, I understand. But these are very nice arguments. I'm just telling you. That's what I was going through yesterday. I'm saying you gotta knock down this argument directly. You're telling me there are many arguments you can use, but I'm saying there's an argument you have to use that gives a decisive blow to this whole picture, you see? But the answer like this. The answer is that what is the person presenting you with? The person is presenting you with instances of great pleasure, psychological pleasure, whatever it is, self-esteem, great, unbelievable moment or picture of grandeur and greatness and a kind of a captivating pleasure. Okay, captivate, right? Yeah. But you have to realize that pleasure is very dependent on condition. For instance, you could have a slave that is elated. You see, he's elated because his master recognizes him today. You see, so he's elated. Or you could have a person that's starving, and they will experience the most fantastic sense of pleasure if you'll give them a glass of water. You see, it'd be unbelievable. So you have to realize that a captivating moment is no indication whatsoever of the person's state of existence, because the most miserable people have captivating moments. Do you follow what I'm saying? You see? That is really the flaw of that argument. Because the argument stands on an experiential, captivating moment of elation and satisfaction and everything that a person can wish for. But you have to realize that such a captivating moment can emerge in the lowest individual, in the lowest state at certain moments. You see? So that's no proof of anything. The slave will be extremely happy because for months his master didn't recognize him. And today his master said he's great. And he'll feel, wow, unbelievable, great day for me. You see? But he's a slave. Would you want to be a slave? Because does that moment, that captivating moment, indicate anything about the realm of the individual's existence? Zero. See, it's a fraud. It's a fraud. Because a momentary pleasure or sense of elation can exist in the lowest, most miserably laden framework. As a matter of fact, there's more reason for it to exist there, because that's exactly why that moment is so captivating. You see? So that's the refutation of the argument. Yes. No, 1 second. Yeah, oh, okay, we weren't here yesterday. See, but now the question is, that's what we mentioned yesterday, that the successful man is looking for pleasure of approval and fame from those who are beneath him. So that's precisely the image of the slave. That's exactly what it means. It means that he is waiting for the approval, and it's worse than a slave, because a slave is at least a slave to somebody who's superior to him. But over here, he is a self-enslaved. He created a self-enslavement, and that's why, so most of the time he walks around a slave. But occasionally, when he gets this great recognition from those who are his inferiors, but he has placed them in a superior position, he feels a tremendous elation. You see? So a person would be insane to think that this is a lifestyle that in any way could give an individual satisfaction. And it's just totally nonsensical. It's completely nonsensical. Because that's exactly the life of the success-oriented individual is precisely the life of the slave. But it's much worse. Because the slave, at least there's some rational system of slavery, where you have a master and you have a slave. Hopefully the master is a superior person than the slave. But over here, the individual who thinks that he's superior is basing his superiority on the acclaim and the approval and the recognition of those individuals who he considers to be inferior, which is an enslavement to a lower element. And he gains elation when the master gives him a certain kind of approval. This is completely insanity. You follow me? So the argument fails. The argument completely, and it's an absurdity. You see, and that's why we mentioned yesterday that most of the pleasures of life are those kind of pleasures. Because you see, that's why it says banisi li batim, asisi li kramim. Everything is li. Why does Shlomo say li? because he knew right away that there's no reason to experiment in the areas where most human beings find their satisfaction, and the fact that the things that they're interested in, the homes, the cars, whatever it might be, bottom is a big thing. So the bias really is for somebody else. So that's a totally nonsensical kind of involvement. The Ishmael wouldn't do it. That's just like self-enslavement. Self-enslavement was not the thing that he was going to experiment with. That it's true, while most of the world is engaged in that kind of a thing, that is no reason for Shlomo HaMelech to set up an experiment on, because it's simply, your mind tells you immediately, your little analysis tells you this is crazy, this is ridiculous. He's enslaving himself to somebody else. He's living in this kind of a house because he's excited that when somebody comes in, they like it. So he's doing it for the other person. So that's complete enslavement. Or this kind of a car, whatever it might be. But that's the average mentality. That's the mentality of the balabas. Balabas means, we said the term balabas is, it's not arbitrarily, it's a bias, because that's usually the entity. That's usually the entity that the person is preoccupied with. That kind of pleasure he's not dealing with. That's why it says bonisi libat, or sisi li krum. The li is significant, because the li means that he immediately rooted out that realm of satisfaction and enjoyment. That was completely gone. Because there's no reason to go into that. It's simply stupid. Okay? So what remained? So now all the other pleasures remain. And what were those pleasures? So then he goes through, he sets up, the question that he was raising is, if you remove the enslaving pleasures, those things which people do for others, so if you remove those, is there anything left? Or is man simply not capable of any kind of pleasure? So the experiment was to indulge in pleasures that are completely free from the enslavement aspect, just for the sake of the thing itself. Okay, so that was the thing. Now take a look. That's an interesting thing. Which things did he choose? Okay, so he mentioned. And he did enjoy them. He did enjoy them. He's made things. See, Asisi li egalti maser, bonisi li batim natati li krumen. Okay. And Asisi li gano sufradesim vanatati van eitz kolperi. Asisi li brechos moyem, mahashkos mem yaretz omeach eitzim. Kanisi avadim ushvachos vnevayis hayali. Kamikne yivaka vatzon arbe hayali. Nikol shayi lafone berishlaim. Kanasti li gam kesavzov. That's it. Okay? That's it. Again, I mentioned something. I think the emphasis on the li, the reason why he emphasizes it and re-emphasizes it again and again, is because it is such a common phenomenon. And we mentioned yesterday that a person, in anything that a person enjoys, if in his anticipation of the enjoyment, he imagines in his mind how he will feel if somebody else will see it, he could know immediately that kind of a thing he's doing not for himself but for somebody else. It's a form of enslavement. I think that would be a good rule, a general rule. You see, that the person will be able to use to test himself to see whether this thing he's doing it for himself or for somebody else. Somebody else, obviously, is slavery. So the way is, I would say, that if in the anticipation, I think we mentioned last year, the anticipation of the, we're talking about the anticipation of the enjoyments. The anticipation of the enjoyments is an extremely important component. If in the anticipation that thought occurs to him, then he could know pretty much that that's the reason why he's doing it. So I would say that's a thing that could be ruled, because it's a very powerful, you see, it's a very powerful thing and very prevalent and common. But it doesn't make it any more reason. Doesn't give it any more reason to experiment with it. Once the person sees through the facade and it's nonsensical, he's not interested in it anymore. Even though millions of people don't see through it, that's not a reason for him to use that as an experiment. So that was dismissed immediately. Okay, and that's why the only thing that remained was li. Only those things which have nothing to do with anyone seeing or knowing about it, just for himself. Okay, and what were those things? Okay, So the things were, yes.
I was wondering, is it because there's no point in going there, or is that once you know the area, you can't do it once you...
No. There's no reason for it, because it's a thing which is... It's like saying, would a guy try to be a slave so that he'll enjoy when his master one day gives him a pat on the back? Would you do that? There's no reason to experiment with this. It means that the essential thing is misery. So, I mean, it's stupid. Okay? That's what I'm saying. Even though I would premise that is the enjoyment of most people, but that he ruled that out immediately because it's not worthy of any kind of experimentation. It's just total slavery. That's enslavement. That is misery. I would say the more, this is the most of humanity, the Vanderbilts, the mansions, and the homes, and all these things, that's, actually, it's a Peric in Tehillim, on the one that you say in the base of all. They build homes, and then they lay a domos, and the fantasy of the homes, and that's basically the whole, it's a Peric in Tehillim. If you look at the Peric in Tehillim, he goes through this kind of a fantasy. But that wasn't his experiment. Shlomo HaMelech was not interested in that. Okay. That was not his experiment. You got it? Right. You go through the Purushma, you see. That's where he discusses the Abotkumor of Chelum, Rosh Mishalol. That's basically where he, Dovah Melech analyzed that one. But that wasn't Shlomo's thing. Shlomo was after that, and he was just going, he was trying to see if there could be enjoyment for men besides that kind of a thing. Those were the things he was going to experiment with, yes? I would say because that motive is so overpowering that if it appears in the anticipation that one could be pretty well assured that that's the motivation of the whole thing. The thing is like this. In other words, when dealing with the psychological processes, you have to know the strength of the thing you're dealing with. And if a thing is extremely powerful in its nature and it appears on the scene, you can be pretty sure that's what it is. As a general rule. But that's the cause of the thing. That's the cause. That's the underlying cause. So that's something which a person would rule out. I would say without a doubt, there is no question that that in this area, the biggest slaves were are the people who are the owners of these mansions and these big homes. There's no question about it. I would say the bigger the home, the bigger the slave. That's the direct proportion. Because that's what they're doing. I don't think they had doubt about that in terms of the world. And that's the same thing with the image of successful businessmen. All these things are total slavery. But that's what I'm saying. It's a very powerful force because of the way the human psyche is set up. And as powerful as it is, and as predominant and as common and as ubiquitous as it is, it's still not worthy of any consideration because a thinker immediately sees through that and is not going to do that. It's just insanity. It's just crazy. The fact that it's prevalent and common and even powerful in nature doesn't make it worthy of experiment. That's the point I want to make it. Okay? That's why everything's Lee. Everything's Lee. I don't think there's one case here that Lee is missing. At first, I thought every case he has Lee. So therefore, he's saying, now the question is reduced. Are there enjoyments for a human being? Basically. Remove those, that category. Now, but are there enjoyments? A person alone. Okay? If a person would be the only one in the world, what would he do? Would he want to live in a beautiful home with all the things that he has, the gardens and the... And he goes through all the luxuries that he could that he could possibly put together. Yes, go ahead, Aaron.
No, I was just saying, imagine you're pointing out the broad of the people going after those projects. So imagine that most of the arm is involved in
Well, that's for sure.
Which guy is more
fertile?
Which guy is more of a slave?
And which guy is more? Yeah, yeah, there's no question about it.
No, this is talking about this raw. Wanting the guy that actually
is the prophet. Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. You're right. It is an amazing thing. No, it's absolutely true. And I'll tell you something else. If there weren't those people, I don't think you'd have the other people. Because one feeds on the other. In other words, there'd be no sense in trying to impress somebody if no one's going to be impressed, and then the whole thing's gone. So one thing feeds on the other. I mean, the fantasy of these people feeds on the fantasy life of the other people. But the point is, I mean, that explains also what I mentioned before, Aaron's point, that if you take a look at their lives, you always find misery. But it has to be that way. Because it would be like saying if you went into a slave's life, that'd find a miserable person. It went into a person that was very happy when he gave him a piece of bread. He finally stopped it. He has to be miserable most of the time. It's got to be. It's not possible otherwise. But let's take a look at the enjoyment. Nevertheless, he goes back to these enjoyments, and he wants to see if they could give a person any satisfaction. Okay? So what are the things he has? A home. The next thing he has is interesting. I mean, some of them you could understand. He says, Bonisli button natati li krumen. Okay, kerem is something which we don't understand today. I mean, we don't have that, but kerem is a very important thing, because you see, kerem is always a mushel. Like for instance, it's a mushel even regard to Kral Yisrael. The Kral Yisrael is a kerem shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Is karmish lilafonai. A kerem was something which is different than ganos or pardesim. See, a kerem is something which is the person loves. It's the apple of the person's eye. Why? Because it's something which is beautiful, it gives off fruit, and it's also a source of wine. It's a kerem is a very special thing. We don't have it today, but like kerem novos. You see, the kerem was a big thing. In the time of the Nevi'im, the kerem was a very big item. Why? Because it really is like multifarious. It's fruit, it's beauty, it's wine, it's a source of wine. It's something which a person loved. The person loved this carom. It's just like a carom is a love object. You see? Yeah, that's right. Carom, that's exactly. Yeah. Carom is a big thing. Right, we don't have it in today's society, so it's hard to appreciate it. But it was something that was a very, very meaningful possession to the person. It's a very meaningful, multifarious kind of enjoyments from it. And then the next thing he has is... next thing is ganas upardesim. Ganas upardesim means that you see how little we enjoy life. I mean, because the thing is that you go to the supermarket, but that's not really, that's only a secondary kind of that's like a substitute. I mean, the real enjoyment is you have your own crops growing in the backyard, and you go in and you take them. I mean, fresh. This is lacking something in the supermarket. See? So, and pardesim also. Pardesim means it's not just the home, but the grounds. I mean, the grounds are a big thing. After a meal, a person walks into the pardes and beautiful gardens. It's a different kind of experiment. I mean, we don't really have that much luxury. All these different nuances. These are different features. I mean, it means not just a beautiful mansion, a beautiful home. But after the home, after the meal, you walk into the pardes, and the food is right, picked straight from the garden, the ganas and pardesim. And then he says very nicely, "Venatati v'lem eitz kol peri," not just a few fruits here, guys. An apple tree, it is kol peri, every type of variety, like endless varieties. So he walks into the pardes, he experiences not just qualitative enjoyment, but the quantity. Quantity is also very important. Then he goes on and he says, "Asisili brechos mayim lahashkos mehem yarat someachetzim." What is that? Funny thing. All of a sudden, "Asisili brechos mayim lahashkos mehem yarat someachetzim." What is? What is he doing there? Yarat someachetzim. So what? Now, what he means over there is that's another enjoyment. Like if you ever went to New York City, you see on top of the roofs some of the penthouses. So in the back, I mean, on the roof. They have gardens over there. And that's not just a garden. You see, that's something exotic because it doesn't belong there. You see, to have something which doesn't belong, and it belongs in a different part of nature. It's found naturally in a certain place, but to transplant that into your onto your property is a different kind of enjoyment. I mean, you have to be sensitive to the enjoyment. You have to understand. You have to be sensitive. But there is such a thing. Brechos, that's like, Sicily Brechos, Mayim Lahaim, it's irrigation. Mahashkos meant to have your own forest. A forest doesn't belong in your backyard because you need water, but it's not there. So you irrigate and you artificially bring in that which is necessary for this thing so you can have your own forest. It's not so much the forest. That's exotic. That's the exotic sense. That's a sense of the exotic. I have something here that nobody could have ordinarily. It's not an adjournment because nobody could have it. It's a sense of the exotic. It's not that he wants to show somebody. That I tell you, that's nonsensical. What? Yeah, it's a certain enjoyment of having the exotic. It's like transplanting a world that belongs somewhere else into your private domain. You see? It's like,
people like to keep exotic
cats. I don't know. It's hard to...
It's probably something like
when you have the fish, that's what it is. Like a fish tank is a real. What you're really trying to do is take the bottom of either ocean or the bottom of a river, and you're trying to capture that in your home. You see. That's a sense of, that's what it is. I mean, that's what the enjoyment is. I'm just saying. that's the exotic. That's what he's saying. You know? That's the thing. Bringing in, having, but he's doing it on a grander scale. There's a little, it's from Malachi. I mean, it's a person, small guy. Small guy does it in a little fish tank. You know, Shlomo Melech, you're talking about. You're gonna do it. You do it right. You know what I mean? You create a woods in your backyard. You know what I mean? That's something. You know, like that's a different kind of a thing. That's. No, he did it right. He'll save you the trouble. See? that's the one thing that stands out. You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden, the Sicily Brechos Man, Washkes Man, Yatz Mechetzim. But that's the exotic. That's the enjoyment of the exotic. Okay, Kanisi. It doesn't mean, and again, it doesn't mean because nobody else could have it. That's again going back to the slave mentality. You know what I mean? It's simply that there is intrinsically such a satisfaction. You know, like. Without other people. Okay. Now it's like this. Kanisi avarim ushvachos uvnei vayis hayali. Okay, that's a big one. Because the avarim ushvachos means that a person, the biggest possession that a person can have is another human being. I mean, that's the problem with the world. I mean, that's what the world problems. But that's what it means. Avodim u'shvachos and b'nei bayis. So that's a different kind of a thing to have to have servants. Again, not because of the sense of self-importance. That would be a delusion. Because how could you get a sense of self-importance from somebody who's inferior? It doesn't make any sense. But it means to have at one's disposal a human being that serves them. That's the finest kind of servitude that a person can have. Much, much better than the best computer. I mean, you see, they're always trying to get to the robot. You know what I mean? That's an attempt, but this is greater than any robot, a human being. Avadim u'shvachos. That's a different sense of a different kind of the interest that he needs. A different what? Yeah, that's right. But that's on time. Shlomo Melech didn't have a problem with that. That's why. That's why he was the one to make that experiment. You see, yeah, bnei bayis servants. Yeah, avodah mishpachas bnei bayis. It's two categories. Avodah mishpachas are those people that brings in the wood. I mean, avodah mishpachas. But bnei bayis is a higher level. Ven meshek beisi yudam mesek eliezer. I mean, it's a personal, it's a different kind of a thing. Yeah, that's like a personal, on a very close personal level, an intelligent individual that understands you and knows your needs. And somebody you can even confide in at certain times. You might talk to him a little bit. You know, he's a different level, different kind of a phenomenon. I guess like a butler. I guess a butler would be there. But that's an enjoyment. I mean, a butler is a something. I just want to show you, Shlomo Melech was not one to simply dismiss these things. You see from what he says, he was sensitive to every pleasure. A person that's insensitive is not worthy of anything. I mean, insensitive, is there something wrong with it? There's something wrong. That's what Yerushalmi says. If a person can't enjoy life, is insensitive, then he's a balmom. It's a balmom. He's insensitive. Shlomo was not insensitive, but he wanted to analyze all these different enjoyments. Is there anything in it for himself? I mean, is there anything real here? Real here? Okay. So, and then he said this. I don't know this one. I'm saying gam mikne bakar vatzon harbei hayolim mikol she'el afanim mirshlam. I don't know what exactly that is other than I don't know exactly what that is. It sounds like mikne bakar vatzon, like everything, like I don't know exactly, but kanastli gam kesef v'zov v'skulos m'lachim l'amdinos. That is certainly, again, it's kanasti li gam kesef azov. That means, eskulas malachim l'medinos, it means in terms of his security, his sense of financial security, and also the, as a melech, the sense of a melech. You see, that's really what the Torah asks that. The melech can't have because that's a certain enjoyment that doesn't allow the melech. But you see, he did it because he says it's not going to bother him. That was one of the things that was over. So me, he says the reason is because the loyosel of avo, but me it's not going to affect. Okay, so, but that's a different. That's an enjoyment of a melech. Sgulas melochim lamedinos. It's not an ordinary person can enjoy such thing. That's a certain enjoyments are only for certain individuals. For a melech, there's a concept of having a treasury of the king, the treasury of the king. It's a different kind of enjoyment. It's enjoyment for a melech, enjoyment for a regular. An ordinary person is not can't have that enjoyment. Then asisi li shorim v'shoros, and now he's talking about music. It's shorim v'shoros, male singers and female singers, v'sanugos b'nei ha'odom. V'sanugos b'nei ha'odom, and then you have those two words, shido v'shidos. Shido v'shidos, yeah. Shorim v'shoros is music, yeah. And shorim v'shoros is music. Okay, so now you have the enjoyment of music. I mean the stereophonic systems, those kind of enjoyments, and yeah, right, that's right. I mean you see nothing's changed except that with today you have a mechanical, but yeah, the real people, the real music. You can't. Now shido v'shidos. There's a question of what it means. Rashi says it means chariots. That would be like today's cars. Okay, mark voice noi, eglos sub. Okay, shita tevim. The Lashon is more mashma like Rashi. The Ibn Ezra says a strange thing. The Ibn Ezra says that it's nushim. Because he says that over here, it has to mean that. What really convinces him is that it means that, because it says from all these things, he doesn't mention that. You see? He says, where's the Ibn Ezra? Over here. He says, Vinyan Shivishis Heim HaNoshim, V'yora Aleim V'sanugos B'nei Ha'odam. You see? V'od Shehiske Divre Kol Taivas Ha'olam. He mentions all the possible taivas, every luxury. Mi'binyan Unatiyo Mikneos Gula. So he says, there's got to be. There's nothing else remains. But you see that Rashi didn't learn that way, and Chazal apparently didn't learn that way. It's an interesting thing. Because Rashi learns that it means today's cars, but beautiful chariots. That's a big thing. I mean, that is a powerful emotion. I mean, you see today, for most people, the most powerful emotions are in the home and the car. I mean, that's it. They'll do anything for that. So it would be strange. I think it would be very strange to omit that, to omit the chariots, you see. But let's take Rashi. But what about the Ibn Ezra's Kashak? What happened to Nosham? I mean, if so, Tivus Olam Hazza, all the Tivus, and it looks like he forgot the biggest one. I mean, Tivus Nosham, most people say.
That's the
suicide bombers. Right. Yeah. What? Food, ganos, padesim, no lack of food. No lack of food. Buck of its own. I guess that's pretty right. Maybe that's buck of its own. Means fresh supply of meat. Constant. Everything is available. That's what it is. That's buck of its own. Mikne buck of its own. And in tremendous supply. Everything in great supply. You don't have to think about it. It's there. Ears, right in front of your eyes. Nothing to worry about. Everything you can see. That's a certain kind of a tremendous pleasure. I mean, you have to admit, this is a good setup, yeah.
Well, doesn't fancy chariot get a fancy woman?
You mean with a fancy chariot, you get a fancy woman?
Yeah, it's really one of the things. Like, hot rod magazine, it's a men on cars. It's
a pull up next to
they got the best horses. The best horses from the Mitzrayim one time. They got the good horses, not just an ordinary horse.
They came out with the original Model T chariot.
Yeah. So what do you say? But according to Rashi and according to Chazal, it doesn't mean Rashi. I mean, according to Rashi, it means chariots. So what about the Ibn Ezra's kasha? The Ibn Ezra's kasha says that's lacking. After all, you're telling me every nuance of every taiva in every conceivable way. I mean, basically, that's what he shows you. Goes through all the taivas that a person can imagine. And it's true, that one's missing. You know, he says, it's not a taiva. I mean, you're crazy to say that. So what's the answer according to Rashi? What's the answer according to Rashi?
No.
When I say other people doesn't, I don't mean it doesn't involve other people in the. I mean it doesn't involve other people in what they think or what their fantasies are. I don't care what it's for me. It's purely for me. This is my thing. I enjoy it for myself. I give it nobody else in the world. Doesn't make any difference. But Nashim is something that he's going to need. Adam Rishon would like to have out of my son Levado. So that's something that a person would see me. Yeah, Aaron?
Yeah,
Rashi was married. I think the reason is a very simple one. That, again, as to what we said before, he didn't experiment on things that don't require any kind of experimentation that a person can see immediately that it's stupid. Okay, and that's that's why the slavery situation is not necessary. But Shlomo Melech knew that man, the unsublimated pleasures, are not for man. They just a person that thinks that's what their pleasures are. Just is not talking about man. They're talking about an animal, but not man. Man for man, those pleasures. Are first of all, they can't occupy enough in the time frame. You see, most people, that the low life individuals, you know, that's all they think about all day, and they themselves joke around, yeah, but how often can they engage in it? You know, doesn't the human body doesn't even permit the amount of time that would be necessary for a person to really consider this a major. Thing in their life, and that's why you see that people don't really. I mean, it's something which is people value it. They don't. It's a pleasure, and even a great pleasure. But it's not something around which a person can build his life, or really feel that this is something that's going to satisfy them. First of all, for the simple time factor, but much more than that, because two reasons. Because the thing is that one is the way the human psyche is structured. It's not structured. It's structured for sublimation of the instinctual drive. That's the way a person is. And if any understanding of the human psyche will show you that it's just not possible for a human being to think that this is going to serve as a as an essential source of pleasure in life, or give them a pleasurable life. And as a matter of fact, most people think, and since the Rambam is among them, that enjoyment, as powerful as it is, comes from a negative. In other words, the enjoyment in the enjoyment in the instinctual and sexual act really is an enjoyment of a release, more than a positive kind of thing. And that the Rambam basically maintains that those that wasn't given to man for pleasure. Which means that structurally, if you really understood it, you would not view it as a place to go for a positive gain and pleasure. But the sense of pleasure is a removal of pain. It's a direct removal of pain. So, again, the fact that the individual senses pleasure is no indication, is a weak argument, as to whether that activity is a genuine pleasure. What Shlomo HaMelech concluded was that there is only one possibility for a genuine pleasure in man, and that's in the realm of the sublimated. But in the basic instinctual itself, it's not possible for a person to... Only a fool will think that that's going to give him a good life. That having a life that revolves around that is going to give him pleasure. That's not possible. Yes. What? That's a good question. What? No. I would say that on the surface, you're right, that is sublimated. But the truth of the matter is that a knowledge of psychology shows you that it is a form of insanity. That's correct. That the individual in love is under a tremendous compulsion and acts in a way that most people would consider not rational. You see? And it's a state in which the individual is totally... the individual is in a state of compulsion and loss of freedom of the self. If you understand the psychology of the love situation, you'll see why psychologists equate that with abnormal, insane kind of states.
You see?
And also love crazy. You see, the world recognizes it on a certain level. But the state of being in love is a state where the individual has lost his freedom, his or her freedom, that state. And it's not a state, no, there's no question about it. And I say, you see, people are in love do crazy things. I say, that's the great galvanism of it. Because they experience pleasure, so they will say that the pleasure, wherever the person experiences pleasure, say the pleasure is a great thing, without looking at the greater framework. The greater framework is a state where the person is completely under the control of the idea of the other person. It's a state of enslavement. It's not a state of freedom. Sorry, but that is true psychologically. You understand psychology shows you what it is and why it is that way. But the individual in love is completely under the force of that other individual. You see, and under the control of that other individual, and there's a low estimation of the self, and the other individual is overestimated, and it's a complete form of slavery and not freedom. So that's why I would say that he outruled that. What? In line with all the other. That's correct. The only things that he has, that's why it's good, clear, why he only has these things. Because these things are the only things that remain after you rule out all the other things. You say yes.
If the primary instinct is a relief, and how does sublimation still get
important? No, that's no problem. Because it's a release because of a buildup of tension. You see, but if it's rechanneled, the energy is rechanneled, so then there could be enjoyment. In other words, the reason why His question is, Dan's question is a psychological question, that if the enjoyment of the instinctual is a release, it's not a positive thing, so then how is it possible that you could have a sublimated enjoyment? That's not a problem. Because the reason why the enjoyment is the enjoyment of a release is because there's a buildup. But the energy, if it's siphoned off into sublimated areas, so then the person can experience enjoyment. You see? It's not a kasha. It's not doomed because of its initial objective or aim. But that's the nature of man. That's his whole question. Can man really have the question? Shlomo is reducing the question of if man can have enjoyment in life to this: can the sublimated enjoyments are they enjoyable? That's what it really boils down to. When you remove the nonsensical ones. Again, I mean, the instinctual again is one that's probably the most prevalent. I mean, but the prevalence does not warrant it to be an object of the experiment. It's down to the sublimated enjoyments. But you see, music is there. Music is a sublimation. Music is a sublimation. Is a sublimated form of enjoyment. Music and the privation and the sense of security. As a matter of fact, Chazal says, then he says he enjoyed everything. He says, V'chol asher sholu einei lo atzalti mehem, lo manates libi mikol simcha. Ki libi someach mikol amoli, v'zeh yachelki mikol amoli. So he says, so Chazal say mikol simcha, Chazal say, even simchas osher. What does it mean, simchas osher? Simchas osher with this, well, the biggest osher is in the world. No, it means even that psychological enjoyment. Every psychological enjoyment. As amazing thing is the Tirgum Yonasan ben Azil on this. It's unbelievable. Because Tirgum Yonasan ben Azil says like this. He says, it goes on something else. It's a medrash. Rashi quotes the medrash. He says like this. And he says, that what were these... he says... Just a second. He says, Higdalti ach in the beginning is Gesi Ovodin Tovin, the Yerushalem, Bonisi Li Votin Base Mukdisha. Base Mukdisha, amazing. See, Rashi says that Chazal says it's going all on the, Chazal interpreted not on the simple physical, but they interpreted on religion, yeah. Base Mukdisha, Lachapra al Yisrael, Ubase Mikiras Malka. The Idron Psil Leve Midrasha Drabonon Uvulam Uvez Dino Avnim Psil and the Samon Yasfin Hakimaya made a place, a beautiful place for the Chachamim to sit. The Dainin Yas Dino Avdis Bursaya Deshain the Fidel Moses Malchusa and see this Chamin Biyavna. He said, I made Kromen, beautiful gardens in Yavna. Why? Kol Kovel Carmen the Inva Lemishni Mihon. Chamra to give wine, he says, to who? Anov Rabbonei Sanhedrin, for the greatest Talmidei Chachamim. Va'af l'nascha chamar chadas va'atik al madbacha. So it's an amazing thing. What is this? So that's what he did. This was the experiment. According to Chazal, it wasn't the simple experiment that we're talking about, the luxuriating, the sublimated. It was really sublimated. It was the enjoyment of building a base on Mikdash, the enjoyment of creating a place, like a lot of people have Balabatim, like good Balabatim. What's one of their greatest enjoyments is a Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham comes and they take care of him. Well, that's really what he's saying. In other words, to entertain Talmidei Chachamim and to build a base on Mikdash and the Mizbeach. I mean, this is, people say this is the greatest thing. Like a I was talking to somebody not too long ago. I was talking about the, you know, he wishes he had more means. I said, what would you do? He says, I would have the greatest Talmidei Chachamim in my house. I would take care of them. I would give them whatever they wanted. You know what I mean? This is what he's saying. This, according to Chazal, is a very deep Chazal. They're saying that that's what, that those are the enjoyments that he was talking about, not the enjoyments of the Pardes, I don't think it's a Tata de Sasra. I think what Chazal is saying is that he studied every possible kind of enjoyment. You see? And, but what is the end? But the end is those enjoyments most people think, oh, those are good enjoyments. No. The end is, you see, in the end, those enjoyments are no good either. See? What is the end? The end, he says like this. He says, what? It's talking about an objective. But the, he says, yep.